Good afternoon, friends. My name is Michael Matt. I am the editor of The Remnant, which is the oldest English language traditional Catholic newspaper in the world. First of all, just an honor to be back. You know, Jason and Paul, I'm so thankful and grateful to have received your invitation. I can't be with you in Tokyo as I was a couple of years ago, but certainly I'm with you in spirit, and I believe wholeheartedly in the mission of our very, very important allies now in Tokyo, in Japan. So God bless you, and thank you for hosting this conference and for inviting me to come along for the ride. Much appreciated. I want to start by talking just a little bit about some misconceptions about what it is to be traditional Catholic. As we've talked about before, many of us are kind of unsure if traditional Catholic is even necessary anymore. As the situation in the church devolves, it seems to me that there are simply Catholics and non-Catholics, apostate Catholics, running around calling themselves Catholics these days. So it's a very common misconception among many, even among many traditionalists, that the traditional Catholic movement began in the mid-1960s after the close of the Second Vatican Council and the advent of the new Mass. Some of our critics, for this reason, they accuse traditionalists of blaming Vatican II for everything that's gone wrong in the world and in the church today, something which I would argue makes very little sense given the fact that 60 years before the close of the Second Vatican Council, the greatest pope of the 20th century, St. Pius X, patron saint of the traditional Catholic movement, was already fighting the errors of the modernists. In many ways, the council then, in my opinion, was the great coming out party of the Enlightenment, the topic of your conference today, with the established enemies, some of the ancient enemies of the church as well, whether you want to refer to them as secret societies, liberals, Freemasons, modernists, call them what you will. They had already been infiltrating and plotting the fall of the Catholic Church for a couple of centuries before Vatican II. So this is one of those misconceptions that I think must be, as we move forward now, must be dispelled post-haste, if you will. So Pope Francis, for example, is not the cause of the anarchy. This is a very common misconception today. People, they see Francis deviating from his predecessors, and they conclude that everything that came up until the time of Pope Francis was great in Rome, and of course it wasn't. Pope Francis is not the cause of the anarchy in the church today, but rather, I would argue, an inevitable, an entirely predictable result of centuries of sustained belligerency, if you will, against the Catholic Church. In fact, I would argue, as I did the last time I had the honor of being with you, addressing your conference in person in Tokyo back in 2019, I would argue that the original forefathers now of the traditional Catholic movement lived in France 2 centuries before the Second Vatican Council. The original traditionalists fought and died in defense of Catholic altar and throne during the Enlightenment's first act of genocide in the war against the Vendée. The genocide, by the way, of all things Catholic, which has continued ever since 1789 in one way or another. So right now, in this post-COVID, or we're awaiting the post-COVID thing, if that's ever going to happen, I'm not sure, but what we're bracing for is this so-called Great Reset, which in my opinion is an obvious catalyst of the New World Order. An order that will build itself, if they succeed, on the graveyard of Holy Christendom, the place where they buried Christendom, or so they think, if Christendom never comes back. But we, of course, have confidence that Christendom, the Christianity, will indeed rise again. If it doesn't, there will be a new and diabolical world order taking over where Christendom once was. But the original Great Reset is the Enlightenment itself. And that's, I guess, if there's one thing I hope I can leave with you today, in my opinion, the Great Reset is not the thing that Klaus Schwab is talking about and Bill Gates and the United Nations, not the first and fundamental and most dangerous reset. The first and fundamental and most dangerous reset is the Enlightenment. That system of philosophy and thought which determined to abolish Christendom during the Protestant pandemic, if you will, that had decimated Catholic Europe 2 centuries before. That's the Great Reset. That's what changed everything. And we've been suffering the consequences of that ever since. In fact, everything that we see happening to the world right now, and lots of bad things are happening, everything that we see happening, from the destruction of the family, to the slaughter of the unborn, to the fall of the human element of the Catholic Church, to the demise of law and order in the state, which we're seeing here in the United States, playing out in dramatic fashion right now. All of this had its origins in the great reset of Christendom that is the Enlightenment. And this is something that many people, we have many recruits to traditional Catholicism right now, good folks who think this is merely and only and solely all about the Latin Mass. The Latin Mass is the touchstone of our faith. It's very important. But on some of these issues, like the fundamental root cause of the revolution in the church, which was the Enlightenment, in my opinion, based on the Protestant revolt, traditional Catholics have very little understanding of that, which is why I'm very pleased to be asked today to make this contribution as someone who's been a traditional Catholic all my life and who sees the strengths and the weaknesses of the traditional Catholic movement. I'm happy to speak on this subject because if we don't develop and grasp a better understanding of what happened in the world and to the church at the time of the Enlightenment, I'm afraid we're only one generation, maybe two generations behind those who, after the Second Vatican Council, gave up on the faith. We have to understand the nature of this war. We have to understand the diabolical underpinnings of this so-called Enlightenment. The very word itself, now, of course, speaking to man's supposed evolution out of the darkness, the dark ages of Catholic superstition, and into the light of modernity's rationalism and godless naturalism. The word itself is an affront to Almighty God. The Enlightenment, in my opinion, then, could be seen as the veritable incubator of the New World Order that at the moment is tearing the world apart, even though it's not fully erected or built yet. It's already tearing the world apart because of its separation from Christ, from the kingship of Christ. Now, for example, I speak to you today from the city of Minneapolis in Minnesota, a long, long way from where most of you are in Japan. But Minneapolis, like so many other American cities, has formally rejected Christ, formally rejected the law of God, you know, and switched it out, exchanged it for the mess of pottage that is the false notion of the Enlightenment, which has left millions hopelessly, not enlightened, but hopelessly in the dark, completely detached from faith, from reason, from God, and in many ways from reality, as we see playing out in dramatic fashion again in the streets of America, where the people are making war not only against Christ and his church and his law, but against law and order itself. They're making war on themselves. They're looting and burning and destroying their own cities. So darkened have their intellects become. From 50, 60, 70 years now without the moral authority, the moral voice of Holy Mother Church. My city of Minneapolis is literally fulfilling the great Hilaire Belloc's prophecy that once enlightened men have rejected Christ, they should expect one thing and one thing only. And that is chaos. Christ or chaos. My family and I right now are living through that chaos, no longer theoretical. We're living through that chaos right now. The night skies are lit by the flames of our own cities, clouds of smoke in the air during the day from the fact that our cities are burning in this chaos. And our politicians, even our churchmen, the shepherds, the bishops, priests of the church, are in effect promoting Aleister Crowley's diabolical prediction that do as thou wilt shall become the whole of the law. If they're not promoting that do as thou wilt shall become the whole of the law, they're closing their mouths, closing their eyes, and they're allowing it to happen for fear of being called some racist or something, some other